Thank you very much to the Lord and the ladies who were involved in the ladies' luncheon yesterday. It was a blessing to many, and thank you all for your labors in the kitchen and in the fellowship, times of joy and learning together. And thank you so much. The Bible talks a lot about blessings and limitations of family life. And the blessings are really on us this morning with Mother's Day. You know, when Jesus wanted to let us know how much he wanted to help us in life, he said, hey, you as a father or as a parent, you know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will your Father in heaven? So when God wanted to show himself to us, he often does so as our Father in heaven. In the Old Testament, a number of times, he says he's like a mom. If you notice in that last passage that was read, Paul, when he loved Christians, he said, I'm trying to help you like a mother who loves children. And then the very next line is, because I worked hard among you day and night. Well, that sounds like a mom, right? Day and night. You get no time off. You're 7 days a week and 24 hours a day. You're available. So thank you so much for your labor, your love, and your sacrifice. God put you in that situation. And the Lord moves us from a biological family, which is very blessed and important, to a bigger family, a spiritual family. So we're going to hit both of them in His Word. And first, to look at some of the biological families in God's Word. You know, they all needed the Lord's help. So if you say, oh, thank you, Mom, and Father's Day and Mother's Day, day of honor, and yet brings out emotion in people, remembering loss and maybe present non-ideal situation, but you're there and you're loved and you're blessed. Okay? You are loved and you're blessed. So don't forget that. And first family, Adam and Eve, they have two sons. One son, Cain, murders the other son, Abel. So you can imagine, you know, what that does to family life right from the beginning. First family, big pain and big grief involved. Short time later, Noah, even after being saved from the flood, he curses one of his sons and the descendants of his sons. So it's like Ham and Canaan. They get rejected by dad in there. So that's pain for Noah and his family. Abraham, father of the faithful, their family was difficult. A blended family that never meshed. Okay, often God meshes those blended families. And you think of Jesus, he was in a family, you know, where dad was his dad, but he really wasn't the dad he knew, okay, from all eternity. So even that difficulty Jesus had growing up, and Mom didn't understand him, but Mom was honored anyway. But in Abraham's family, between Sarah, Abraham ends up, well, let's have a girlfriend, Hagar, you know, because we have to have descendants and so on. You know, their descendants, Isaac and Ishmael, become rivals for centuries. That's out of Abraham's family. And people are still, you know, so if your family has big sins in it, you'll fit right into the Bible. Okay, and only God can save the family. He can save your family, as maybe occasionally mixed up as it is. The Lord understands. He has mercy on that. And our families are candidates for God's redemption and love. And Mom, you're a big part of that. So thank you. God recruited you to be a mom. You're an example of God's presence, His discipline, His warning, and His unconditional love. And moms, you probably know this, or gals, even in any kind of fellowship situation, you often set the tone for how things are going. Okay? Happy wife, happy life. Glad mom. Okay? Blessed children. You know, her children rise up and call her blessed. So that's true about you. You might say, oh, mine doesn't call me blessed. That, believe me, they know they're blessed. You just go on strike for a day or two, and they'll come running, you know, with many apologies. But Moms, you're a key, and God gave you that assignment. Guys have a chance to love mom, their wife, there, and that can be an example of Christ's love for the church. So, guys, an indication of how you're walking with the Lord is how much you love your wife. That's Paul's test for us. And children, to honor dad and mom, children, you know how well dad or mom are following the Lord, because you see that every day. Okay, so home life is really a good microcosm of saying, well, how am I doing with the Lord? And when you look at that, have mercy on yourself, you know, because God understands all those things that are out of kilter. And again, He could take the pain of our family life, and if we bring it to Him, that could be a catalyst for meeting Christ in a strong way. I know I've heard a lot of your testimonies, and it was when my family was messed up, I turned to Christ. When my family was hurting, I turned to the Lord. Because when your family's hurting, you're hurting big time. You know, you go home after a day of work, and then you go walk into pain. And you say, I need the Lord. So God can help you and redeem family life. And it's a wonderful thing. And moms, God chose you to be a faithful example of His. Lean on Him. It's not just physical, but it's a spiritual impact in the home and church-wide. We heard some examples of this. And the Apostle Paul said he was like a mom or a dad to other Christians. He said he wanted to share good news, but he also wanted to share his life. Because really, in my own learning of things, I learned really strongly by example. Then I learned secondarily by what is called precept. Precept is what is given. News, 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 information, information, information. But I learned better by example. Because the person giving the news, you know, they give me the news for an hour, whatever. But the life example, that's 24/7. So, mom, you're the best teacher your children know. They just check you out. And they say, well, I see how the Lord is, you know, from dad and mom. And so Paul said, I want to be that way to you. And so if you're a follower of Jesus, you're an example, a teacher, and a spiritual parent to many. And God loves family life. He expands that to all Christians. We kind of, you know, you're a spiritual mom to somebody because somebody's looking at you and saying, oh, this is, God must be in their life, or this is how the Lord is. A good example or a weak example. God can help the weak example be pointing to Him. And Augustine said, when we have God as our Father, we have the church as our mom. In other words, other Christians nurture us. They become somebody who builds us up in the faith. And I wanted to give a couple examples of that from my growing up years, actually from ages 18 to 30. So many guys and gals who had an impact on me, including my own biological parents. But I picked two Christian gals that I knew, and they made an impact on me. Really, from the Bible, though, the move from the Lord was getting people together. We see this in the Apostle Paul in Colossians. He says, though I'm absent from you in body, I'm present with you in spirit. That's a good prayer for mums to pray when you have to let go. Send them off to first grade. I'm absent for you in body, but I am present for you in spirit. You know, I am praying for you and hoping you're doing well. Or off to college they go. There they go. You know, University of Hawaii. Oh, brother. I'm absent in body, but I'm present with you in spirit. And God wants that from believer to believer. You know, we might not be there to help each other out, but hey, our hearts with each other. Our hearts with each other. That's what Paul said. So put your child in God's hands. Put your Christian brother and sister in God's hands. And that'll help you. And then Jesus wanted people not to feel like He was just, goodbye, see you when you get to heaven. He says, I will not leave you orphans. See, Jesus has a heart for when mom and dad, they're not there. Where's mom and dad? I don't know. I don't know who dad is. Where's mom and dad? Grew up in today's world, about 40% of our families have mom and dad home. That's less than half. 60% of our families in most communities, you got mom, maybe. You got dad, maybe. Okay. Only God can help a family. Walk through that. He can do it. He'll do it. And she said, I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come to you and make up for that loss maybe that's there. And the disciples, when Jesus would go to heaven, they say, now what? He would send his spirit to be close to them, be with them, and they wouldn't be orphans. So God's going to do that for you. You're not alone. God's your father, and he's like a mother to you. And then, of course, David understood that. Family life is not eternal on this side of heaven. So when there's abandonment in some manner, God picks you up. And first Christian lady that had an impact on me, name was Mrs. Bryan. Tell you about her. First time I met her was in a church setting. I was working as a custodian near a ladies' Bible study, cleaning some rooms. And she was in that Bible study along with some other ones. And they said, hey, come here. We don't know who you are. Tell us about yourself. You know, we know you're new and so on. And I was just like a new Christian. And they said, what are you doing in school? What are you taking up? What do you want to be? I'm an English major because I like to speak in English. You know, I figure I can master that. And I want to be in newspaper work. I want to be one of those hard-line reporters, you know, in your face. I could just like to harass people. Know that? But and one lady in a Bible study said, well, who do you know in newspaper work? You got to know somebody if you're going to get a job in newspaper work. It's who you know. And Mrs. Bryan, who I didn't know at the time, but she had seen me around, she said, oh, well, he knows the Lord. He knows the Lord. And all the other ladies said, oh, yeah, that's right, we forgot. We were at the Bible study, we forgot about the Lord. That he knows the Lord. And so that news kind of stuck with me as a source of pointing my faith to the care of God in life. That my presence was under God's direction, my future was under God's direction, and I could have a confidence in him. So she passed that on to me. And the thing she taught me by example from the Bible, God's 100% in control and he cares for you. Okay, I got that message from her life. And that family, her and her husband, they went through a lot of hard times. They lost their 19-year-old son when he was just simply playing volleyball. He had a heart condition. He just dropped and was gone. Another child fell. Terrible fall, pelvic fracture, and was possibly going to be disabled throughout her life, but was not, thankfully. And God kind of carried that family through times of sadness, but always trust in God. No matter what happened, they were together under God. And even Mr. Bryan, who was one of the toughest guys I've met, he would come to church after they had their son passed on, and he would wear sunglasses because even, you know, he knew he was going to be sad and have real grief, but he still wanted to be close to God. So that's the way they were, and for their life and what I saw in them, to not be afraid because God was with them, and to be still and know that he is God. I saw that lived out by this family, and I was so thankful for their example. That's what Mrs. Bryan taught me. Second example, Mrs. Masiola. Totally different family situation. Husband did not go to church. He was a moral guy, but church for him was boring. You all cannot relate to that, I know. But church for him was boring, so no church for him. And then two children who were in their teens and early 20s, they would come to church all the time with Mom. And this is a rare experience. So I'm watching Mrs. Masiola and her two really good young people. And I asked one day, don't you get resistance, you know, for the young ones coming to church? And you come all the time, and there they are. And she says, well, they do, but this is what I tell them. And so I learned this from Mrs. Masiola. The church was essential, and that it was people together with Christ. She said, I tell them it's important to God that you come and worship God with His people. It's important to God. That's hard to argue with that. What am I going to say? You know, it's important to God. I guess it should be important to me. And then she said this, like a mom, she said, and not only is it important to God, but it's important to me that you come. It's important to me personally, as a parent, that you come and be in worship to God. And she really drove it home by saying, and not only that, it's important to you. Okay, it's important to you. It's going to help you. You might not think it'll help you, but it's important to you. And I know sometimes you don't want to comb your hair when you go outside, but for me and for yourself, comb your hair or worship God. Okay, come to God. And she taught me really by example the things that are in the Scripture. As Jesus, He would go to synagogue as was His custom. Famous passage in Hebrews, it says, meet together, draw near, hold strong, spur one another on. I can't do that unless I'm with other believers. And then mostly caring like a caring mother, love the other believers. And only God could pull that off, you know. Because, well, how would you love a bunch of strangers? Because God would put that love in your heart. And you get to know them as Christian brothers and sisters. Paul calls these folks brothers at the beginning of the passage. And in terms of the gathered church, it was a precedent in the Bible from Romans all the way through Revelation that the church would be some called out group of people, that it would include things like elders, ordinances, the Lord's Supper, baptism, and really under the Word of God. So it just wasn't, you know, a church like, it's me and my buddies, we get together every other week, and that's kind of our church, you know. That's kind of our church. That's what the modern day view of the church is. But you won't find that in the New Testament. Say, New Testament is God's people gathered under a called out group of leadership in His Word, in His ordinances, sacraments, and sent on a mission. Okay. And even my son, for example, he is working in the house churches where people from block to block gather in groups of 8 to 12. But there's always elders there to lead the group. It's not just mishmash. And they always meet with the larger church for accountability and direction. So I saw this in Mrs. Masiola. She put that in her life. And the theme of her life and her children's life is out of Nehemiah. When the people were under pressure and they were getting mocked and so on, they pretty much said this, which is a good saying. We will not neglect the house of God. Now, can you imagine the young people here being taught that? Hey, we follow Jesus, but I'll tell you what, we will not neglect the house of God. And that comes from the mom and dad, you know, and from the examples of spiritual moms and dads all around us. This is standard Bible practice. Okay. And mom and dad, you don't want to give that up for your view of, you know, whatever your view is. It came from your own head. Most likely, it didn't come from God's Word. And so I thank the Lord for just, you know, normal, humble Christian women. And they were very loving and free in their faith. They were not, you know, hard-line, legalistic, trying to beat on people and so on. And the influence you could have as a Christian to Christian, or parent to family member, is more than you realize. To close in just a praise to God and something thankful that sometimes what happens in our own home with Sean's disability. I asked him the other day, what helps you, what helps you get through a hard day? What gives you encouragement when you're down? And what kind of gets you over the top for the next day? I thought he would say something like, it's the physical therapy, movement, or it's the Tylenol or the Advil. That's what really gets me through, or watching a ball game. But he kind of took both my wife and I back when he said, it's when Mom reads me the Bible. And this is just, simple. Every day, walking through a trial, well, here's how we're going to do it. Before you go to sleep, I'm going to read you the Bible. Okay. And when she reads, she really does read. Like, it's getting late and I'm like, can we go to sleep now? When is church going to be over? That's bad. But that's a source of comfort and strength. And it's just a normal Christian life that you could do for any person around you. And God will point us to himself. And he puts us around each other to honor Christ, help each other follow him. So thank the Lord for the spiritual influences in your life. Most likely it's Mom, it's Dad, or somebody in the body of Christ. Could be a peer, could be a younger one, doesn't matter. And God honors himself through people. And here's the closing praise to God. God will do for you what no one else can do. Give your heart to him. He has the power no one else possesses. He's full of compassion. You've tasted that. He abounds in mercy. He'll never walk away disgusted. He will not use your weakness against you. Learn from that, parents. He will never grow tired or become impatient. He finds joy in bringing peace to your heart. And trust him. He's your strength and salvation. How true about the Lord. Let's pray together. Father, we honor our mothers. We thank you for the gift they are and they were, and for many around us who are like that. In Jesus' name, amen.
We're going to close.